Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the sixth canto. We're on chapter 14, text number 18. So this is a very short purport. This is on the board, we'll chant this, but I'll continue reading. There's a few verses after this that don't have purports or very short purports. And I'll just read to just this section. They're all related verses, so this would be very similar. Atmanam prakritishva atta niraya shreya apnuyat ragna tata prakritayo Nardevahitadaya Atmanam Prakritis Adha Nidhaya Shreya Apnuyat Ragnatata Prakritayo Nardevahitadaya Atmanam prakriti sada Nidhaya shreya apnuyat Ragnatata prakritayo Naradeva hitadeyaya Atmanam prakriti svadha Nidhaya Shreya Apnuyat Ragnatata Prakritayo Naradeva Hitadaya Matajis. Mana Prakriti Svara. Mana Shreya Apnaya. Tampaktaya. Deva Hitadaya. Atmanam himself. Prakritishu, under these seven royal elements. Adha, directly. Nidhaya, placing. Shreyaha, ultimate happiness. Apnuyat, may obtain. Ragna, by the king. Tata, so also. Prakritaya, the dependent royal elements. Naradeva, O king. Ahita Adaya, offering wealth and other items. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King, O Lord of humanity, when a king directly depends upon his associates and follows their instructions, he is happy. Similarly, when his associates offer their gifts and activities to the king and follow his orders, they are also happy. Purport. The actual happiness of a king and his dependents is described in this verse. A king should not simply give orders to his dependents because he is supreme. Sometimes he must follow their instructions. Similarly, the dependents should depend on the king. This mutual dependence will make everyone happy. Text number 19. O king, are your wives, citizens, secretaries and servants, and the merchants who sell spices and oil under your control? Are you also in full control of ministers, the inhabitants of your palace, your provincial governors, your sons, and your other dependents? Purport. The master or king and his subordinates should be interdependent. Through cooperation, both of them can be happy. Text 20. If the king's mind is fully controlled, all his family members and governmental officers are subordinate to him, his provincial governors present taxes on time without resistance, and what to speak of lesser servants? Angira, this is the purport. Angira Rishi asked the king whether his mind was also under control. This is most essential for happiness. Okay, text 21. O King Chitraketu, I can observe that your mind is not pleased. You seem not to have achieved your desired goal. Is this because of you yourself, or has it been caused by others? Your pale face reflects your deep anxiety. So I'll stop there on text number 21. Om Agyana Tanandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmalitamena Dismaya Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kaupa, Tubhyas Cha, Kripa Sindhu Beva Cha, Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. Okay, so just to review here what we read. So actually I'll just read what Angira is saying here, and I'll read the previous verse from today also. The great sage Angira said, "My dear king, I hope that your body and mind and your royal associates and paraphernalia are well. When the seven properties of material nature, the total material energy, the ego, and the five objects of sense gratification are in proper order, the living entity within the material elements is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements: his instructor, Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends. O King, O Lord of humanity, when a king directly depends on his associates and follows their instructions, he is happy. Similarly, when his associates offer their gifts and activities to the king and follow his orders, they are also happy. O King, are your wives, citizens, secretaries and servants, and the merchants who sell spices and oil under your control? Are you also in full control of ministers, the inhabitants of your palace, your provincial governors, your sons, and your other dependents? If the king's mind is fully controlled, all his family members and governmental officers are subordinate to him, his provincial governors present taxes on time without resistance, and what to speak of lesser servants? O King Chitraketu, I can observe that your mind is not pleased. You seem not to have achieved your desired goal. Is this because of you yourself, or has it been caused by others? Your pale face reflects your deep anxiety. So what a great movie, actually. We can see the different activities that are going on in this movie. Make a wonderful plot, wonderful storyline. Talks about the hero and so many heroines. And all these verses I read, because it explains our situation in the mature world. We're always surrounded by so many things to make us happy. And Angira is noticing that despite all these things that the king is surrounded by, he's not happy. He's actually very miserable. And his face, his features cannot hide it. So therefore the sage can, just by looking at him, he could tell what the situation is. So he's kind of like asking in like a, you know, he knows, but he's just kind of like bringing it out from him. Just kind of teasing him in a sense. You know, why aren't you happy? All these things are here. What's wrong? What's the problem? Like that. So this is the movie in the mature world. We're thinking that we are the controllers, that we are actually the hero. And everyone else is supposed to be having supporting roles to make us appear to be very happy. You know, to fulfill our desires. Right? This is a nice analogy given by Guru Swami at our wedding. And he was explaining this, how in the mature world, this is the problem. Everyone thinks that they are the hero. And if everyone's a hero, then there's going to be so many clashes and so many things like this. And we'll see in this story, this is what happens. The king is considering himself, you know, I am the king, I am the controller, therefore I should be happy and my wives should provide for me. But they're not, so what's going on? So he's very distressed. And the wives are thinking that they want all the attention. After the king eventually got what he wanted by the grace of Angira Muni, he gave him a special sweet rice that was offered in sacrifice to Tasta. Then she was able to bear fruit and have a son who was the source of his happiness and distress. And so the princesses were thinking, we're also, you know, want our happiness too. So they became envious and very much burning, actually like a high fever, thinking that I should, you know, we also want children. You know, my desire should be filled too. And when they didn't get that, then there was clash. And what did they do? They actually poisoned the king's son. And this is how the whole plot goes on. Quite intrigue. And so many things are happening in this story. But the king is thinking, you know, or we're all thinking, without me, without my presence, everything will be spoiled. Just like these political leaders, They're thinking that without me, the whole situation will be spoiled. And Prabhupada used the example of Mahatma Gandhi, that he was so attached to political life that he wouldn't leave unless he was killed. So this attachment is very, very strong. Prabhupada says that there's a Bengali proverb that says, when the king dies, it does not mean the kingdom stops. The kingdom goes on. But so long as these kings are in charge, they're thinking that as long as I'm in charge, you know, everything's okay. But without me, everything is going to be spoiled. And this is called Maya. This is illusion. This is the movie. This is the big show that's going on. And Prabhupada also explains here how in the mature world, we have children, and then we're thinking that, oh yes, that my children also have children. So we give indulgence to the sons. All right, you take this sex indulgence and produce many children. And then we'll have grandchildren and so many, and then they'll produce children. And then we'll have this what they call the prajapsavaha. And they'll be happy with all these different children. And this is what Dhritarashtra was thinking. He got 100 sons, and 100 sons also had 100 sons. So he's thinking, how could this kingdom be mine? And how can I give it to them? So therefore, this is the cause of the Kuchitra war, strife. Everybody thinking that I'm the hero, I'm the controller, and everybody should be supporting my role. So Prabhupada quotes another Bengali proverb, nati nati svargavati. Nati means grandson and grandson's grandson. Therefore, I am living, my son is living, my grandson is living, his son is living, his son is living. In this way, up to 7 generations, if one sees, then immediately he goes to heaven. These are the conceptions of the materialistic person. Then think, if I can see my grandchildren, my grandson of my grandson, then I can actually become successful. So they're all working for this purpose, and working very, very hard, trying to make a happy situation in the mature world, but this can never be successful. So we'll see throughout the lessons here, as the king becomes so sorrowful, he's practically like a dead man. He goes blind when he loses his son. And he's lying like a dead body next to his dead son. So then the sages appeared. Angira Muni appeared again, but this time with Narada Muni. And they gave him transcendental instructions about, you know, the purpose of life, how this is just a movie, how we shouldn't be attached to these materialistic things. These are all temporary. You know, they come and go, just like, you know, the sands on the beach. They come and associate for some time and then they're gone. You know, they didn't exist before. They're existing now, and then they're not going to exist in the future. So it's temporary. It's not unreal, but it's a temporary situation. So explaining to him why be attached to this temporary situation when you know it's just fleeting. It's like the river just coming by and it's just constantly moving. So after hearing all these different instructions, you know, he became very much enlightened and grateful for this instruction. And then finally, actually Narada Muni brought back his dead son. And everybody was astonished. The son came back to life. And then they said, oh, here is your father. Please, you'd have died untimely. So now, why don't you just happily live out the rest of your life? And the child starts to speak. And he says how, wow, this is, you know, the soul is the Atma, which is on a journey in this material world. And it's going from different bodies to different bodies, sometimes in the animal species, the plant species, demigod species. has had so many fathers and mothers. So which father and mother are you? You see, I am actually a living entity, a spirit soul. I'm not even part of this material world. And he begins to give transcendental instructions to the king. So this is the association of the devotees. We're so fortunate to have the association of devotees to give us enlightenment. And after he became pacified and enlightened more, Narada Muni gave him a special mantra that said, if you chant this mantra, you actually get darshan of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sankarshan. So he chanted this mantra. Within a week or so, I think, he became so pure that Krishna actually appeared to him. And then Krishna again came and enlightened him even further, transcendental knowledge, and explained to him how this material world is very fleeting. You know, sometimes we think that we're in control, that we're these bodies. We identify with our nationalities, so many different things. But these are all fleeting. They're temporary. This is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to understand who you are. And that's what all these pastimes in this transcendental movie of the Bhagavatam is meant to do, is to enlighten us and to explain to us all these different activities that have happened by the grace of Krishna, to show us the real meaning and purpose of our life through these great examples of this King Chitraketu, who actually was cursed and became a demon. So after he became so enlightened in this way, he was traveling all over the world, you know, and enjoying transcendental with his senses fully under control. You know, practically he was, it's described how he had no deterioration of his senses or anything. He was traveling and he just happened to make a smart remark about Lord Shiva and his wife. His wife was sitting on his lap while he was instructing all these great sages. And he's like, wow, look at this great personality. So then Parvati didn't like that and she cursed him. And because he was such a great devotee, he came up to her and bowed and said, yes, what you have done, my dear mother, is all right. Actually, these arrangements are not actually by us, but whether we get cursed or we get honored or whatever, it's by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for our own benefit. So therefore, I happily, you know, accept this curse. Actually, this Chitraketu was so powerful that he could have counter-cursed Parvati, but he didn't. He just accepted very humbly. And there he was born as, you know, the son of Tvasta. It's interesting how Tvasta is this original person that gave this sweet rice, that this sweet rice was offered to, that he would get a son that would be the source of his happiness and distress. And now again, he's going to be born as the son of Tvasta, right? Yeah, so it's interesting how all these personalities, they interplay in this great plot of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the whole plot, the whole storyline is to help us to become, you know, self-realized like this king. Because after all, who is the real hero? Krishna is the hero. It's described as the Nayaka. And Radhika is the heroine, the Nayika. And this is our first business, is to glorify them, the hero and the heroine. This is what the gopis do. That's their first business. Then they gradually create a situation where the hero and the heroine can be attracted to each other. And they cooperate in this way to make a beautiful arrangements for them. They make a jovial atmosphere. You know, they show expertise in fulfilling all their desires of the hero and the heroine. So this is the cooperation. Just like in the material world, is explained that the king is happy because all his associates and dependents are cooperating with him. So in the same way, even in the spiritual world, Krishna doesn't experience full happiness unless there's cooperation of the gopis. And they experience the highest form of happiness. So this is our actual happiness. Because actually, the pastimes of Radha Krishna are self-effulgent and they are happiness personified. It's unlimited and it's all-powerful. And even so, it is so powerful, these spiritual humors and these pastimes, they're never complete without the gopis. So this is that loving cooperation that we have. And we are all meant to develop this relationship with Krishna so that we can complete our real purpose of this life. The gopis are so selfless that sometimes they were just so selfless they wouldn't consider their own happiness, that they would make arrangements for Radha to approach Krishna. And when that would happen, they would experience happiness 10 million times more than Radharani would experience. And Radharani was so selfless that she would make arrangements and plead to Krishna and bring the gopis closer to Krishna. And then when she would see that the gopis are in relationship with Krishna, she would experience happiness 10 million times more than when she was directly with Krishna. So this is a transcendental mellow, you know, that's nourished by mutual behavior in this love of God. And when Krishna sees how the gopis have developed pure love for him, he becomes very satisfied. The Srimati Radharani and the gopis are not interested in their personal happiness derived from association with Krishna. Rather, they become happy by seeing one another associate with Krishna. In this way, their dealings are further nourished by love of God. And seeing this, Krishna is very pleased. So this is our whole purpose here is to become selfless, not thinking that I am the hero or I'm the heroine and everything is here is for my enjoyment. But actually we should become like the Sakis and just make arrangements for Krishna's enjoyment. And in that way we experience transcendental happiness, transcendental bliss. And this is the Sankirtan movement. This is actually what it means to go out and bring conditioned souls closer to Krishna. And in that way we experience happiness and we're fulfilling our purpose. So this is a very wonderful story and a wonderful plot. And there's a nice quote here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'd like to quote how Lord Chaitanya was asking Ramananda Roy so many questions about the ultimate goal of life. You know, what is this relationship with Radha and Krishna? And Ramananda Roy is the limit of all this knowledge. He has so much knowledge. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this from him, he was so satisfied and pleased, he just hugged him and cried. He explained of such elevated knowledge like this. And he was asking the importance of the devotees, how important it is to associate with devotees. And this is another question that Lord Chaitanya asked. Dukha manye kona dukahaya gurutara. He asked, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? And Ramananda Roy replied, Krishna bhakta viraha vina dukha nahi deka para. Sri Ramananda Roy replied, apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. So this is in the association of devotees, how we ourselves can become completely satisfied. Even Krishna himself becomes much more happy. Prabhupada writes a nice purport. He's quoting a verse here. A person who does not worship me, who is unduly attached to family, and who does not stick to devotional service, must be considered a most unhappy person. Similarly, one who does not associate with Vaishnavas or who does not render service to his superior is also a most unhappy person. And Prabhupada continues, there is also the following statement in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Out of all kinds of desirable things experienced in the life of a living entity, association with the devotees of the Lord is the greatest. When we are separated from a devotee, even for a moment, we cannot enjoy happiness. So this is basically all the verses that I read here that Angira Muni is inquiring from King Chitraketu about happiness, showing how you should be happy. You know, you should be happy. You have all this, you have all that, and everything. And it was just, I was just thinking, how, what is real happiness? And this is what real happiness is association with devotees. Because in association of devotees, you hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And when you hear these pastimes of Radha and Krishna, you also can become purified just and so much blissful, just like Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya were discussing these pastimes. And they became so satisfied and so happy, you know, and they experienced this love of God. Even if we read this story of King Chitraketu, it's said that one who rises from bed early in the morning and recites this history of Chitraketu, controlling his words and mind, and remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will return home back to Godhead without difficulty. So just see the power of this great plot, this great movie that's going on in the Bhagavatam. So just by hearing and being absorbed in this movie, instead of being absorbed in our own dreams, which come and go, these temporary materialistic things that we have, they're just fleeting. But we have to understand what is the real happiness and how we get that. And this here is explained. So this is the what I wanted to bring out about what it means to be happy and how to be happy. Real happiness. So is there any comments or questions about this particular movie that's been going on? Jai. Okay. Thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, I've been here for a few days.
Good.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to see you. Thank you.